So there's been a lot of chatter in these podcasts. You might have noticed these are our late night dispatches. The music that you're probably wanting to hear, as well as the chatter. You do want to hear the chatter, don't you? Do they want to hear the chatter? Is at the All Songs Considered Live Concert Podcast. Would you cover your mouth?
I can't. I look at Carrie and I just start laughing.
Someone has alcohol on their breath.
Thank you very much. On a live concert podcast, the All Songs Considered Live Concert Podcast is where you find the music, and also npr.org/sxsw, and also the photographs. Chantel Mitchell's beautiful photographs are there as well. What are you laughing about? You're looking at all right, you can't look at Carrie anymore.
And I can't look at Stephen, and Stephen can't look at Bob.
Jeez. So we started the day off with you know, look, we usually hear these sound checks when we come back from a show the night before, and it's 11 in the morning, and it's going doom, 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 doom.
Okay, now none of us can look at Bob.
Explaining quickly that's the sound of the guy behind the drum kit just hitting
the hitting it, trying to get the sound right. This morning, we heard the sounds of Brooklyn Rider rehearsing and getting their sound check, and they were absolutely exquisite. Robin Hilton, did that turn out to be a good call? I want to get this on tape.
It's all right.
Robin was...
No, it was... I wasn't entirely skeptical. I wasn't as...
You were entirely skeptical.
I just wasn't as skeptical on the band as everyone else was, and as soon as they started playing, I thought, this is amazing. I'm so glad we did it. So, yes.
I felt like Brooklyn Rider was one of the most inspirational points of the festival so far for me, just as a music fan. I introduced them from the stage. Robin's shaking his head at me.
Sorry.
I introduced them from the stage, and during the little spiel, had to name all the bands that were in the lineup, and all the fans in attendance were hooting and cheering for Surfer Blood and Sleigh Bells, who were at the top of the bill. And when it was Brooklyn Rider, there was sort of the sense like, okay, it's Brooklyn, you know, sort of a polite smattering of applause. Right. And between each one of their songs, it was just absolutely thunderous in the crowd. And it just reaffirmed that belief that great music is great music, and music fans are smart.
Yeah.
And you give music fans credit and put great music in front of them, regardless of what genres they associate with, they're going to feel like they're going to be energized by great music. And I felt like that happened with Brooklyn Rider.
I was in the middle of the crowd, and I was looking in the eyes of the people, just fixated on it. Anyway, it was wonderful. So after Brooklyn Rider, we don't have to go through everything, but surprises for the...
Well, you know what? I'll give Robin credit. I was very skeptical about Smith Westerns.
Ooh,
and Robin...
A little bit of a war.
I'm not taping this part.
Well, Robin had insisted, whined really, about putting Sleigh Bells.
I threw myself on the floor kicking...
All but.
Yeah, to get them on the bill.
Robin threw himself
It's not
on the
that
floor.
We didn't like Smith Westerns.
Yeah,
understood.
No, absolutely.
We were afraid we had too many bands that sounded... coming from the same sort of place.
There was sort of a garagey, somewhat unformed quality to the sound. They're very, very young.
But that turned out not to be the case at all.
That's right.
And each band had its own nuanced version of, well, the ones we were thinking were going to be similar, which would be Surfer Blood and Local Natives, I guess, yeah. Sleigh Bells and Smith Westerns actually provided a variety of sonic textures and intentions and energy, and I thought it was a really dynamic bill.
And I also thought and was afraid of the fact that these are new young bands and it was going to be good records but not great stage, and it turned out not to be the case in any of those shows.
Yeah, I felt like they were all there to prove it in some ways, and a lot of these bands aren't as new as we thought. You know, I think that they're new to the blogosphere and they're new to this sort of buzz wave they've been riding on, but all of these bands, Local Natives turns out to be a band that's been around for a long time.
Great musicians.
Surfer Blood, you know, sound like those kids.
They have not been around a long time.
They haven't been around a long time, but they definitely have a mastery of what they're doing. And, you know, we talked to the singer and guitarist after they played, and I mean, he's just a real smart with it, very like a sense of awareness about what's going on. I mean, this was not a clueless bunch of youngsters up there just screaming their heads off. These are a bunch of people going for it and really excited to be here and gave us their best.
And gave Steven a run for his money on the hair. I thought they
those brothers.
For my money, I would kill or die for that those kids' hair.
The brothers in Smith Westerns had beautiful, beautiful hair. Yeah.
I was Amy Schrieffer on the music team. She and I were discussing how we could possibly emulate those kids' hair.
What product you'd have to use.
And step one was B17.
How about just some Vidal Sassoon?
I was thinking Pantene, but it's been a while.
Don't lie, Robin. I can smell your head from here.
I definitely felt like the energy in that lineup never waned. You know, I felt like G-Side brought this incredible energy. I felt like Surfer Blood just really blew it out. I mean, obviously, Sleigh Bells, we knew, was going to be... I just really felt like straight through every band was there, like you said, was there to prove that they belonged to be there.
Well, thanks for telling it to us again.
I lost my train of thought, and so I started repeating what I'd already heard.
So what else? After our show, which all... There's six of those bands, right? There's six of those bands you can hear on the All Songs Considered live concert podcast.
And the bands we're about to talk about, some of them have content up at npr.org, and you can search and hear songs by those bands, too.
So what'd you guys do? I actually we know what we did, at least three of us, because
this
the first time we hit 5:30 we split up and we thought, okay, we're all going our separate ways, and I walked into St. David's and there was Robin first to see Sharon Van Etten and then there was Steven too.
This is a very important moment I've been thinking about all evening. Seeing Sharon Van Etten is easily the high point so far for me at this year's South by Southwest, and I can't imagine anything being better than it.
Wow. I thought Robin had a cold.
Yeah, I thought it was Austin allergies.
During that, I was sitting next to Robin, and Robin kept sniffling. And
I cried through the entire set. I would say
I can't believe I missed this.
About 30 seconds.
Not the set, but just
30
Robin
seconds
crying.
Into her first song, I started getting choked up, and I held it back as long as I could. By the third song, I just gave up, and tears were streaming down my face.
Why don't we tell folks who
set.
Sharon Van Etten is?
Yeah, Sharon Van Etten is a singer-songwriter from Brooklyn. She put out a really lovely, very low-key, very, very pretty record last year called Because I Was in Love. There's a song from that called Much More Than That, which is absolutely incredible. And I mean, I'm with Robin on this one. I was mesmerized. I absolutely loved her. We're gonna try to shoot some video with her tomorrow morning, so we can give people an example up on the website. But we've got some of her stuff in the NPR archives.
And I thought she had I thought she had a really nice voice, actually a really beautiful voice, very simple guitar style picking, and I thought there wasn't any variety in her, both in her content of what she sang and in...
He was looking through his calendar the whole time. I'm sitting there weeping, and he's scrolling through his iPhone calendar to see what other shows he could be at, and then he gets up.
It was the first time I had a chance to sit down and think about what my night was. I thought her songs, you know, she wrote a song about how she had to move back to her family when she was in her 20s.
That was the song that broke me. That was when I finally gave in.
And I thought, okay, I liked it.
Okay,
so,
well,
let's go on.
Fortunately,
no,
was...
I have to say one other thing. This is really important.
Do you
want to
hold the recorder?
After
my
the
arm's
show,
get tired
just
to on this put song.
It in more in no, perspective
I,
for
I,
you
I,
one more
I
time.
I thought her voice was beautiful.
After the show, I came up to her after the show and said, I'm not a hugger, but could I hug you?
Yeah. It was creepy.
That's unprecedented, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I have
no,
to
she
say,
was so sweet.
And oh, really?
Because yeah.
I feel like that's kind of an intense thing to ask from an artist. Like
she knew who I was. We'd emailed. And stuff
I'm sorry.
Like that.
She knew who I was.
She knew who I was. I'd send her pictures.
That was a big deal. Oh, no. Listen, when we see Jason, I'm telling. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm telling.
As far as I'm concerned, that's infidelity. What you did to me.
Don't. Oh my God! Please don't tell him. Do not tell
so,
him.
So what else did you guys see?
My night went in a completely opposite direction of what I thought it was going to be, which is very typical at South by Southwest.
Yeah,
where you write down, I take this tiny notepad of paper, even though I have it in my phone, I end up with a tiny notepad of paper with these little scratches on it that tell me where to be and what bands are playing. And then I get there and there's this line. And, you know, I don't want to wait in the line. And tonight...
So instead, Carrie ate an entire can of Pringles and watched basketball?
Yeah. You know, I watched the Marquette UW game, rooting for the Huskies.
Huskies won, right?
Hey, I don't know.
Oh, spoiler. Spoiler. Yes, they did. Marquette lost.
Okay, phew. You know, but I... it's not that I don't want to wait in line, but I just, you know, I want to get in there. I want to see the music. And it's turning into Burning Man out here on 6th Street. So
That's anyway. Exactly. I was trying to think, is this like Mardi Gras?
No,
it's Burning Man.
It's
really, totally Burning
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So I ended up down across from Stubbs, which, you know, I spent a good 8 hours on yesterday with our NPR showcase. There's a little place called Jaime's, which is it's kind of like a punk house. It's a restaurant and it's a venue and it's carpet on the floor and, you know, cash only. And someone scrawled on a poster board, you know, beer, $3. And I walked in and there was a band called River City Tan Lines.
Oh, okay.
And I loved them. They're from Memphis.
They sound like a real zippy band. Were they zippy?
They're like an awesome, like, garage rock band with this woman. I apologize for not remembering her name right now, but I'm gonna post about this on my blog. She's got a flying V guitar, which she shreds on. They have an amazing bass player that plays up high on the neck and a great drummer, and I just sat
you
there.
Like that high on the neck bass play.
I do.
You know what they say about Gary Brownstein.
Yeah, like a little high on the neck bass play.
Before. You really like a bass player who gets up there on the neck.
I don't want to hear that you say that anymore because it seems like it's has a double entendre. Okay, I saw one other thing tonight. Okay, next.
I saw one of your bands. I saw Woven Bones tonight.
What'd you think?
I thought they were good. I definitely felt like it sounded like it was emanating from a 7-inch single. And I'm not sure.
That wasn't even on the record player, just sitting there.
I forgot to put the little 45 thing
in. And I sort of felt like, if I were to critique it, I sort of felt like I liked that song. And then I liked it enough to sort of flip it over and listen to the B-side, but I don't know if I would have dug much deeper than that.
No, they're a perfect singles band.
Great garage band.
Here's who I saw, the Greg Ashley band. And Greg Ashley is a veteran of the Houston, then by way of Oakland, psych garage scene. And he's been putting out records for a decade and used to be in a kind of psych garage band called Gree-Gree. And now he's got his own thing. Also awesome. And again, one of those magical things at South by Southwest, I hadn't heard of either bands. Yeah. I went into the only venue that I could fit inside and have some room to move around, and I saw two great shows.
Yeah, I kept wandering around, sort of trying to wander into epiphanies, and I finally just wound up seeing a band I already loved that I saw like 2 weeks ago and that I'm seeing next week. But
Who's that?
Y Oak. I love Y Oak. Like, I'm trying to figure out, I've made all this room in my heart for Y Oak.
I'm just going to lie down.
Right? I've made all this room in my heart for Y Oak, and I'm trying to figure out how to love my children proportionately less in order to make room. I just thought they were fantastic. Carrie, do you know Y Oak?
Yes.
Okay, because what you love about the band Lightning Dust, I feel like Y Oak also has. A little bit more, like, pretty, you know, sort of prettier and a little bit blusterier, but that same kind of sort of sweetness and darkness sort of coiled up. Mm-hmm. These sort of...
Steven right now is, like, clutching his knuckles together in, like, an intense knot to try to illustrate to me how intense that light and dark really combines in their music. White knuckles right now.
And we saw, Robin and I went to another church event.
Hold on, I was talking about why.
I know you were.
I was watching Sondre Lerche walk by.
Aww. Yeah, yeah.
You get so crushed out of musicians. Robin, do you need to go so you can find out where he's hosting?
Just hold this and I'll be right back.
So we went to the Central Presbyterian Church and saw Timber Tambor, which is one of the ones that you recommended in our preview show. And that was magic.
His,
that was sheer
his motto
magic.
Is
I didn't know you were here.
Creep on, creeping on.
And it was spooky,
he is very,
wonderful.
Very creepy.
Cool.
Oh, you know, I think creepy's not the right word for it. I think spooky.
All right, spooky.
Yeah, because creepy lends a kind of like, you know, keep your kids away from it.
Creepy is how you feel when you wake up and I'm standing over your bed at night. And spooky is like a kid with a
dream of. Okay. So anyway, and it was beautiful. It was violin, his guitar and singing, and his name is
Taylor Kirk.
And then pedal steel guitar.
Yes, the record sounds a little bit like Dead Man's Bones without the kitsch. It's spooky, but it's not like woogie boo.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Please do that.
That's a very
every...
good description. I went and saw Besnard Lakes at Stubbs. I was a little underwhelmed. Some of it was just the sound. It was amazing how good the sound was when we were there last night. It was amazing how muddy the sound was when I was there tonight. And then went to see and hope to see Best Coast, another sort of surfy band. Went to this dirt pit on the other side of the highway and wound up like really loving this sort of synth pop band in the middle of this dirt pit. And I had no idea who they were. It turns out they were another band called Tan Lines, but they weren't the... What was your band, Tan Lines?
River City Tan Lines. So By the way, that woman's name, Alicia Trout, was that great guitarist. I feel bad not crediting her.
Did you just... Did you pull out your iPhone?
Tan Lines. I'm sorry. I'm still on Tan Lines.
We saw two different bands called Tan Lines, and the Tan Lines that I saw is a Brooklyn band.
I will say Jacob Gans...
That's right.
...was practically on my way out of the office to leave for South by Southwest. Said, make sure you see Tan Lines.
So I did for you. And no,
now
they
don't
great.
Have to.
No, they were really fun. They were two guys, electronic beats and stuff. But they had the crowd energy higher than anything I'd seen until later that night. I went to see The Very Best. Mm. And that was Issa Mamawi and Radio Click. God, I hate saying that name.
Yeah.
And then a whole bunch of dancers and a guy with inflatable palm trees. And it was just... absolutely brilliant.
Did you have to wait in line at that last one?
Did I have to wait in line?
Uh-huh.
No, they saw who I was. No,
I
didn't.
Haven't had to wait in a line once.
I haven't had to wait in a single line.
You've got a badge. Just go up to the front and say, hey, let me in.
Yeah.
No, you have to wait in line even with the badge, don't you?
I waited for 4 minutes, okay.
And, you guys are doing
before that was a band who I saw get the crowd more excited than anything I'd seen, which was Shout Out Out Out. You know these guys?
Oh, yeah. I just read about them.
And you know, they're an electronic band again, another dance band. I saw four dance bands tonight. But the great thing about this band was, and I don't want to get deep into this, but great bass and rhythm section, real bass rhythm section with old analog synths in doing the melody and stuff. So
how's the half hour sound for this podcast?
Let's do a lightning round.
I'm out of light, man.
Yeah,
Bob, me too.
Bob talked about everything.
Yeah.
All right, well, Solid Fanagram, which is a band I really wanted to put on our bill, and it didn't work out scheduling-wise. Love their songs, love that band, love the album. Not terribly electrifying to see live.
Did they do the light show kind of thing?
I feel validated.
No, they didn't.
That's what held them.
More fun to listen to the music than to see the music played. Saw Lou Barlow, ran into Steven at the Lou Barlow show.
Where I was still weeping over the remnants of Y.O.
That's right. They had played just before.
How was Lou Barlow?
It was good. It was, you know, it wasn't as amazing as I was hoping it would be, but he's Lou Barlow, and it was great to see him play. And
I went to a show because the singer was from Nook, Greenland.
Oh, I saw that tweet.
Yeah.
And you can follow Steven's tweets for anybody who'd like to know at...
I Dislike Steven. And you can follow...
With a P-H-E-N.
And you can follow Robin Hilton.
Is that typecasting? Can you say typecasting when you have a Twitter name that's... so perfectly appropriate for somebody.
Anyway, Robin's tweet, Twitter.
NPR OBIN.
NP Robin.
And Carrie is?
NPR Monitor Mix.
And you can follow All Songs at All Songs.
One more band that we talked about in the preview show that I did see tonight that you also saw briefly was Peter Wolf Cryer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I thought they were really amazing. The drummer is incredible. Yep. And he's sort of he looks like an insurance salesman or something with hats.
He's
been sleeved and, you know, he's just a crazy good drummer.
Yeah.
Crazy good drummer.
Whacking on every part of the drums.
I saw a lot of really enthusiastic drumming tonight. I was really happy about that. I saw bands salvaged by very enthusiastic drumming.
And I thought about that with Fanagram. They're just playing with a drum machine. And I thought...
What did I say when I decided and I just politely said that I would not like Fanagram? Because that to me it's the death knell for me.
So do you think a band like that with their sound that they have on a record would work live if they had a real drummer?
Yeah, why does your record and the live show have to be exactly the same? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Ooh.
On that note, I think we did it. We really almost exhausted ourselves
and our audience.
Yes. Good night, everybody.
2:30 a.m.
Ow, Stephen, stop hitting me.
Stop hitting yourself, Stephen.
Wow, that was, that's a long...
Was I supposed to record this?
I hope not.
Okay, take two.
Yeah, no, I
need you to move out to the street, sidewalk.
Doing it right now, thanks. Yeah.